when he ran to me, he took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, my son's come home.
For this command is a lamp, this teaching is a light, and correction and instruction are the way to life. Proverbs 6:23. Join Bishop Patrick Bruce of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Bantama, as he brings you the pure, unadulterated Word of God. This teaching is anointed, practical, down to earth, and full of wisdom, and will refresh, energize, and bring healing to your body and soul. Listen to the Word of God.
Hallelujah. Put your hands together this morning. I think you can clap with more life. Ask, you can also give me more sound. Yes. You know, I'm glad you're here this morning, because I want us to talk about a very important... How many want to do well in life? It's a question I frequently ask, because I thought that everybody wants to do well, until I saw some people playing dummy under a tree permanently. Do you understand permanently? Yes, they are professional dummy players under a tree. That's all they do. Morning, don't work, don't go to school, don't do anything. They're just playing dummy under a tree. And when I ask, what are you doing? I say, oh, this is where we are. You know, and they eat, they go home and eat and come back. And then sometimes somebody will dash them, no coffee, and that's how they get by. And I came to the conclusion that not everybody wants to do well. Some are okay. Have you ever seen somebody, exams time, he's not learning? How many have seen some before? Somebody, exams time. We have exams tomorrow. Not that next week or next month, but tomorrow. And then he's sitting down, not learning, playing something on his game. Ask, I'm relaxing. Have you seen some before? Can I? You seen some before? He's relaxing. Oh, I'm trying to release tension. And then he's playing a computer. What tension is there before an exam? You are supposed to be tense. Yeah, you are supposed to be tense. And that tension is to drive you to learn the last minute, so you pass. But that guy says that he's releasing tension. So this morning, when I ask, do you want to do well? Don't automatically raise your hand. You know, I mean, it is a question that I'm asking you to think about and say, yes, I want to do well. How many want to do well? Yes, I want to do well. Hallelujah. This morning, I want to give you one key. There are many keys to life. There are many, many keys. But this morning, I want to give you one key. It's a key I've mentioned before, but I'm sure you don't take it seriously. And that is why not all of us have done well. This morning, I read that, just this morning, 850,000 Ghanaians have been pushed below the poverty line. They have become poorer because of inflation and other things. 850,000, almost 1 million Ghanaians have reduced in living standards. It means before they were eating three times, now they eat two times. Or they were eating two times, now they eat one. Or they were eating one, now they see how it goes. Every day is a challenge. Tell somebody, that should not be your story. Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, you. Add your finger to your neighbor's warning and say, you. That should not be your testimony, that you have reduced your living standards because of the economy. It's not. It must be that you are prospering in famine or in droughts. Hallelujah. And God will bless us. Amen. Put your hands together one more time. Let us pray. Father, thank you so very, very much for this morning as we gather here. I pray that, Lord, your word as it comes will be life-giving and strengthening and cause us to be established in the things that are in which we walk. Bless us, everyone who is here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. May be seated. Ask your neighbor, were you here last week? How many were here last week? Can I see your hand? You were here last week. Lift your hand well. Okay. How many were not here last week? You were not here last week. Good. Those who were not here last week, ask those who were here last week, what did I preach? Ask them. Those who were here last, ask them, what did I preach? If they say nothing, say, you are useless. You are useless. Please, I cannot see asking. Ask those. How many were not here last week? Let me see your hand again. Please stand up. You're not here last week. Ask somebody sitting down. Last week, what did I preach? Tap somebody on the shoulder. Ask him. Anybody, free for all. Ask somebody, what did I preach last week? And let's see if they are just like you. They came. What are they saying? They've forgotten. Has anybody said anything sensible? Nobody. Hallelujah. You may be seated. This side too, the same. Amen. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, this is the reason. Oh, I didn't hear you. Tell them, this is the reason why you are not doing well. Add your finger and tell them, my neighbor, you are a useless church member. Please say it clearly so he will understand. Those who came last week, not those who didn't come. Those who came last week. Tell them, say it slowly. You are a useless church member. You don't remember anything. Please add your finger to what I'm saying. You are changing your friend's life. You don't remember anything. You have come to church, a whole service, a whole message was preached, and you are sitting here just like that. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, you are like the students. Oh, I cannot hear you. Tell your neighbor, you are like the students who forgets everything in class. Ask him, how will you pass the exam? I don't hear you people helping me preach this morning. How? Start again. How will you pass the exam? You are destined to fail. Amen. If you forget everything in the classroom, tell them you are doomed. Oh, this morning you're not helping me. Tell them you are doomed to fail. If you forget even all your formulas in class, how much more when you hear life-changing messages and you forget it within a week? How will your life change? And add this one, tell neighbor, my neighbor, I fear. Oh, you don't fear. Say, I fear. I fear. No, let your face be fearful. I fear that today will be the same. As you are sitting here, no notebook, no paper, nothing, no Bible. Tell them, you are not going to remember anything that I'm going to say. You are not going to remember. And it's going to pass through the air. And what is going to happen is that you are going to continue your life with your own strength and your own efforts. Because the spiritual, supernatural guidance that you are receiving Every Sunday, you don't come on Tuesday, every Sunday in church is not entering your heart. It's not entering into you to affect your life. It is as if somebody is showing you how to farm, but you are not farming. Then you are wondering, why is there no food in my house? Because you didn't farm. Because you didn't farm. And somebody showed you how to farm, but you didn't do it. You don't remember. You just go out there, you are holding the maize in your hand, then you throw it. So I'm planting maize. I saw it on TV broadcasting. What did I say? Broadcasting. Yeah, I just throw it, then it is working. That's how. Tell somebody, that's not broadcasting. Broadcasting, you prepare the soil first. But when you just throw it at that, do you know what you are doing? You are feeding chickens and birds. And they are very grateful to you. They say, come again tomorrow and do the same. And you say, I'm broadcasting. I'm throwing my seed in the field. Then I will have a harvest everywhere. You have only one or two maize that the chicken missed that is growing up on the soil. Hallelujah. I didn't hear a good amen. I didn't hear a good amen. And you see, by the grace of God, by the grace of God, our church, we have many young people who, a word of advice, at this time, at this age where you are, has the power to radically change your life and make you much better than you would have been. Much better than you would have been. Because there are a lot of people who are sitting here and some are not here, who, had they been told something 20 or 30 years ago, they'll be driving a car by now. Had somebody advised them one key advice 20 or so years ago, if you like, ask anybody and say, are you the one? Ask somebody, look at them, those who are a bit grown up. Ask them, are you the one? Are you the one? If, you know, honestly, there was something I was told to do about 35 years ago that I delayed. I delayed 2 years in doing it. And that delay in 2 years, it has cost me a lot of money. Yeah, I was told something 35 years ago. Do you know what they told me? Buy land. They told me buy land. And I waited 2 years to buy land. By then the price had changed. So I didn't buy plenty. And the few I bought has escalated in value. I said, oh, if I had bought plenty, but now I'll be a millionaire. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, if certain words enter you, you see, you won't say it. Tell your neighbor, if certain words enter you, your life will be much better. I didn't hear amen. Amen. If you understand certain principles, you will never be poor under the sun. And it doesn't matter what course you do, or what school you go to, or what work you are doing, because these are supernatural, divine principles that have the power to overrule every affair of man. That is why it says in 1 Corinthians, the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. So even if we are giving you bad, foolish spiritual advice, it is still better than the wisest that men can do for you. And it's true. Most look around. How many are graduates here? Can I see your hand? You are graduates. Ask the graduates whether that finishing school has helped them much. Ask them, finishing school, has it helped you much? No, not much. Just some small pay. Yeah, that's how it is. Sometimes those who didn't finish school look even better off. Yeah, those who didn't finish school, they look like they are better off and they are more prosperous than those who went to school. Because it's not the school that will help you. Hallelujah. Listen carefully. I'm giving you one key this morning that I want you to pay attention to one key. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 and verse 17. And are you here? Let's pray again. I want us to pray again. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this key that you are giving us. Let this key be held tightly, dearly in our hearts, in our hands. And let it guide us forward in our walk in this life. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark 10, verse 17. We are neutralizing curses. I want to give you a major key how to flourish and do well in this life. And when he had gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" What he's asking was, "Tell him, I want to do well." If you met Jesus today and you had a chance to ask him, what would you ask him? What would you ask him? They say, ask. They told Solomon, ask for whatever you want. Yeah, they said, ask. Once in a while, people are given that chance. Do you know that? Do you know that? Once in a while, my wife, many, many years ago, when she was a student, one day it was her birthday. Before I married her, it was her birthday. So I went to visit her. When I got to her place, she told me it's her birthday. I said, wow, praise the Lord. I had no money, but I was around. Then she said her uncle has just come and has told her to go to a shop. There was a certain shop in those days, the diplomatic shop. You don't know, you are children's. She was told, her uncle met her, told her, go to that shop and buy whatever you like and give her a check signed and no figure. What do you say? A blank check, signed. He has signed, endorsed it, and said, go to the shop and buy whatever you like. She said she was afraid. I mean, as she held the check, she's like, Charlie, what am I going to buy? So she went to the shop, bought one or two things, then came out. I said, hush. You didn't tell me early. Like, I'll assist you. I'd have assisted you how to maximize this opportunity. It only comes once in a lifetime. It hasn't come again since then. Yeah, only once in a lifetime. You have a chance, and the man was quite wealthy. So, like, you can buy anything in a shop and then just pay for it to the check and go away. And so this man was saying, what can I do? I'm asking. I mean, just tell me everything, anything. What can I do that will give me a good life? Verse 21. Then Jesus told him many things. Be a good boy, stop smoking, stop drinking, stop chasing girls, stop watching pornography, stop. Tell somebody, stop all those things. Oh, you won't say it. Say it well. Stop all the things you are doing. All the efforts. Stop. I mean, you're making efforts. All those things. Keep on doing them. Try them. Press harder. Amen. Amen. I mean, you are learning. Learn harder. You are going to farm. Farm harder. You are trying. Whatever you're doing, do it more. Harder. And then the man said, verse 21. Verse 20. He said, Master, all these have I observed, have I done from my youth. I've tried. I've tried hard to do well. I've tried, Master. I've done my best. I've gone to school. I've done my homework. I've lowered the boyfriend. I've reduced. I've sacked three. Only one is left. I've done my best to be a good. I've done my best. Hallelujah. Are you listening? Are you listening? Verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. You know, some people, when you see them, you just like them. You just like their simplicity. You like their smile. I just like you. This morning, as I was coming to church, I saw a young man walking by the road. He was marching, holding a book. And I just felt happy to see a young man walking briskly, going to church. So I stopped And I asked him, Charlie, where are you going? He said, oh, he's going to lectures. Then from there, he's going to church. He said, lectures. He said, yeah, Charlie, weekend school. So he has to go to lectures, but he's going to go. Then when he finished Norpa, he's going straight to church. I said, get here, I'll give you a lift. I just liked him. I saw a young man with, I mean, some of you, when you're going to church, you walk slowly. True or not true? I said, you're not late. Meanwhile, church is late. I saw him walking fast, hurrying. So I was very moved. So I helped him. I took him far to where he was going. Amen. 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 So Jesus too was drawn by this guy. That, oh, I want to advise you how to do well. This morning, I really want to advise you how to do well. Amen. Amen. I want everybody here to be solid people in life. Handsome husbands, beautiful wives. Well-employed people, having your own house, driving your own car. You won't clap for yourselves. You. I'm just prophesying over my life and I just look at me as if I'm talking to somebody else. I should go to somewhere else and go and preach there. Yeah. I want everybody here to do well. Amen. 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 You. How many want to drive a car? I want you to drive a car. Not an old Tico or Matisse. Not some car that you drive small, then you push small. Then you drive small, then you push small. Have you seen those cars? Drive small, push small, drive small, push small. Or you push plate, then drive small. No. A car you never push. Ah, you get a car. A car you never push. A car that will be air-conditioned with beautiful sounds, blooming, bashing sounds inside. Not Shatawali, by the way. Yeah, nice Christian music. Nice car. Yeah. You will stop having landlords chasing you for rents. When they come to their house asking for, is the 18th or is the 19th or say, Master, hey, is my house now? Move away. I'm building my own house. Amen. And so I want us all to receive a great help this morning. Hallelujah. So Jesus looked at him and he loved him. He had great compassion and said to him one thing. You've done many things. There is one thing that if you do in addition to all these, it will help you to go forward. One thing you lack. And that one thing I want to tell you this morning, Jesus described it to him. He said, go your way, sell all the things you have and give it to the poor. But let me tell you what it is. It is the sacrifice. Hallelujah. It is sacrificing. Last week we discussed about how to break the curse by sacrificing. Amen. Oh, I said amen. Amen. I know you just came, but you didn't listen to anything. And that's why today I'm giving you 7 points. I want you to write them down this morning on your phone. This one, I'm just dictating. I'm not preaching this morning because I feel that you're not listening. It is not sinking into your heart, into your head properly. And you are just listening. And young students, you don't have phones. You have phones. You all have phones. Hey, it's a miracle, but it's good. I want to dictate 7 points this morning about sacrifice. And I want you to write them down and take it home and decide these 7 things. They will tell you about sacrifice and why you should have sacrifice in your life. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something very, very, very important this morning. Sacrificing is not about what you sacrifice. No, 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 no. It is about the ability to be able to sacrifice. Yeah, it's not how much you sacrifice or how big. It's not that. You see, we are often concerned about how much it will cost us. No. Sometimes even small things you can't sacrifice because you don't have the ability. You know, when we say drive, driving a car. If you can't drive a car, you can't drive a Land Cruiser, you can't drive a Mercedes Benz, you also can't drive a Tico. It's the inability to drive means no car can be driven by you. But when you can drive, they can drive many, many cars from small to big. And so this morning, it's not about what size car can you drive, but can you even drive? Even drive. Can you? So it is about, can you even sacrifice? And many of us, we don't sacrifice at all. Tap in your body and say, today is good you came. We don't sacrifice at all. We just live our lives managing and just moving ourselves forward. I'm glad you came this morning. Put your hands together. So sacrifice. I'm giving you 7 things about sacrifice. And if this is one thing that you require, if you get this thing, you'll be set for life. Hallelujah. Amen. So I said, number one, sacrifice is not about the amount. It is not about the amount. It is about the ability to do it, no matter how small the sacrifice is. Because when it is small today, it will grow and become bigger and bigger as you mature in Christ. Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you that this poor woman, poor widow, has cast in more than they all. Amen. Amen. It's not the amount. It is because some of us, because you are poor, you say, I can't give. I mean, the rich give and the poor give. But if it was you, you say that, I don't have money, I can't give. I can't give. I'm broke. My money is down to only 2. I can't give you the 2. I have to keep small to eat. But this woman, with her little that she had, she still gave. Amen. I didn't hear a good amen. Amen. And so this morning, I'm talking about all of us here having the ability to sacrifice. It doesn't matter how much. It doesn't matter. It is that I am giving up something for God. Hallelujah. I didn't hear a good amen. I am giving up something for God. And I want you, look, I'm giving you 7 points. Write them down this morning, and I'm very, very serious about it. If you follow these 7 things, understand why you must sacrifice, life will change and you'll be a very different person. So number one is understand that sacrifice is, I can sacrifice. And tell somebody the fact. Tell somebody the fact. You know, add some strength. The fact that you don't tithe tells me you don't have the ability to sacrifice. Yes, you don't tithe. It doesn't matter how small. The fact that you don't tithe tells me that you can't sacrifice. Because tithing is sacrifice. How things are hard right now. Everybody needs money. True or not true? Yes. And so you need money. You've given offering. You've given a contribution. And now you are adding 1/10 again. Hey, you gotta be joking. That's what they are saying in their heads. But it is the ability to sacrifice that makes you able to pay your tithe and pay it happily. Amen. As you're going to pay your tithe, you are grumbling inside your head. Tell somebody to stop that rough there. If you are paying, pay it happily. It's a sacrifice. Do it well. Hallelujah. Amen. There is nothing free in this world. Everything, you pay for it. Nothing is free. Amen. Nothing is free. Everything. Look, this chair you are sitting on free. Hey, tell somebody, do you think the chair is free? Did you pay to sit here? Ask your neighbor, did you pay to sit here? Did you pay for anything here? But you are sitting here enjoying. Do you think it's free? It's not free at all. Whatever you see, somebody has, it has cost somebody something. Hallelujah. When we stand here and preach salvation, do altar call, freely come forward and accept Christ, tell somebody it's not free. It's not free at all. Jesus suffered on the cross to buy your salvation. It's not come and walk here freely and just receive Christ free like that. Tell somebody, don't be silly. Hey, tell anybody, don't be silly. It's not free. I can't hear you. Tell anybody, it's not free. Jesus paid for it with his life. Yeah, he paid for it. Nothing is free. So sacrificing is just a reflection of everything. Are you listening to me? Hey, are you listening to me? It is just a reminder of everything in this life. Nothing is free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go on. Number two. Sacrificing is from God. It's among the first things that you do when you encounter God. It's among the first thing. Genesis chapter 3. Do you know the first sacrifice that was made in the Bible? Do you know the first sacrifice that was made in the Bible? This is chapter 3 and verse 21. I don't know why I'm taking so long. Look, Adam and Eve were naked walking around until they went and ate the fruit of the tree. And then they saw that, hey, we are naked. Then they began to try and hide themselves. Bible says they made their own efforts. They sowed leaves to cover themselves. And when God saw that Charlie, he was going to suck them out, he says, even though I'm sucking you, I'm still going to cover you. And Bible says, and God made coats of skin and clothed them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where are those skins from? Where are those skins from? God didn't create. He didn't create the skin. He made them. Coats of skin. What is a skin? Somebody's cover. Yeah, a skin is what covers an animal or a man. So God took some animals and removed their skin to make a covering for Adam and Eve. Some animals give up their skins for them to be covered. That's the first sacrifice. Somebody must give up what is theirs, that they need to be alive. And when you lose your skin, you die. There's a doctor here. Doctor, true or not true? Even when you burn some large area, you still die. Yeah. No skin, you die. And so God took some animals and removed their skin. The first sacrifice for people who didn't deserve it. It begins from God. Hallelujah. I didn't hear a good amen. I didn't hear a good amen. It begins from God. That's how it is. The sacrifice is from God. Hallelujah. You want to serve God, you've got to sacrifice. And that is your key to doing well in this world. Amen. What is number one? Hey, what is number one? I cannot hear you at the back there. Oh, you didn't write it. You didn't write it. You wrote it. Let's read it. What's number one? It's not about the amount, but about the ability. What is number two? This side, I cannot hear you at all. This side. What is number two? It's from God. It's not a human being that the church wants me to sacrifice. It's not the church. It's not that we are trying to get it from you. It is something that God has instituted. That is how, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. This is the eternal law that we came to meet as human beings. Amen. It's from God. Number three. God will notice your willingness to sacrifice because some are not willing. God will notice your willingness to sacrifice. Genesis 22. Genesis 22 and verse 15. When God called Abraham, go and sacrifice your only son, the son you waited 25 years. You have waited 25 years for a son. And finally, the boy has come after about 13 years. God says, let's go and kill the boy. Hey, when you have now begin to, when children are small, they are not a real companion. As he has grown, now he's your companion. You and him are doing things together. And God said, go and sacrifice him. And Abraham said, yes, I will. As God has said, what God has asked for, I will do it. Look at verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing. And what did he do? What did he do? Oh, I cannot hear you. What did he do? Has not withheld. I didn't hold back. I gave it up. I didn't keep it in my pocket. Sometimes, how many have been in church? You have money in your pocket and you didn't give offering. Can I see your hand up clearly in the sky? You had money in your pocket, in your purse, and you didn't give offering. Can I see your hand? All those who hands are down, you're either liars or you're thieves or you're crooks. Because we've all done, for all of us, from the day we were born up to today, some are still doing it. Yeah. Some are still doing it. Amen. I didn't hear an amen. Amen. And it is your willingness. I am willing to do this thing. It says, Abraham, you didn't hold back. What you had, you gave it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I didn't hear a good amen. Amen. What you have, you gave it. That is what it means, the ability to sacrifice. I can sacrifice. Even the little that I have, I am willing. My last 10 cedis, I am willing to give it up. And then what will happen to you? I don't know. I'm going to go home. That's why it's a sacrifice. It will cost you blood and sweat and tears. It's not an offering. It's a sacrifice. Sacrifice will cause you pain. If like take a blade and cut your skin, it will cause you pain. It's a sacrifice. Amen. And he said, because you are willing to sacrifice. Look at verse 17. Verse 17. I will bless you. May God bless you. Amen. I said, may God bless you. Amen. Yeah. God bless your going and your coming. Amen. I mean, God's blessings are plenty in the Bible. Plenty. May God really bless you as you have this willingness to sacrifice. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Number four. This sacrifice, look at verse 17. I will bless you. Number four, sacrifice will make you fruitful. Sacrifice. That's the John 12:24. Sacrifice is the paradox of the spiritual world where you do one thing and the opposite comes. That's a paradox. You are expecting down, and then up comes. You are surprised. It happens in the opposite. So in the spiritual world, when you give, you don't become poorer, but you become what? Hey, you become what? Yeah. That's the paradox of the spiritual world. When you give, you don't become less. You rather become more. You don't go down, you go up. That's why it says, accept a corner of wheat, fall to the ground and die. You think that when I die, I'm finished. When I die, I'm nothing. When I die, I've lost everything. That's the mindset of most people. When I die, I'm just alone in a coffin, in a grave. I'm not going anywhere. But it says rather, if it die, it brings forth much fruits. How many want much fruits? How many want much fruits? Tell somebody, as you raise your hand, you are saying, I want to die. If you change your mind, put your hand down and then say, I don't want much fruits. That's all. That's how it works. How many want much fruits? How many want to? You are not sure again. How many want to die? I want to pray for you to die fast. How many want to die? You want to die. How many want much fruit fast? So how can I pray? It's one prayer. It's one prayer. I can't pray be a boy and born a girl. I can't pray born a child, boy, girl, doctor, boy, girl combined. It's what's going to happen. To be a confusion. The child is going to be a mad child or something. I want to live and die at the same time. Tell someone you cannot. You cannot. Ask him, do you want to live or die? What did he say? You want to live? You want to live? Hey, then this scripture, you are outside. You will live, but you will have much fruit. Oh, yes, you will live. But you will walk like that. You will walk. The rain will beat you like that. You will walk in the mud like that. But if you die, you will bring much fruit. Hallelujah. And that's the sacrifice, the ability, the willingness to sacrifice. That when they ask me, put your life down. Give your offering. Give your tithe. Give something. You are willing. Hallelujah. That's what. Number five. Look, there are some names in the Bible that I've not heard anybody. One is Judas. Judas is a very bad character for all of us. His name means good name, but we don't like him again. And so Judas is a bad man. True or not true? So, do you want to be a Judas? How many want to be a Judas? Raise your hand. Okay, only one person. At least one person. At least one person should help us to be a good example of a Judas. Nobody. Listen to this. Number five. John chapter 12. Number five. Anyone who thinks sacrificing is a waste is a Judas. John 12 verse 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus. Pouring perfume on somebody's feet. Hey! And wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Verse 4. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, which should betray him. Why? Was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? He's saying, why are you wasting the thing on the ground? Why? Let's sell it and then have an offering for the poor. That is Judas. He said, don't sacrifice. Let's use it. Don't sacrifice. Don't give it up and just dash it away. No, let's use it for a very good purpose. Hallelujah. Are you listening? Anybody who says, tap your neighbor. Anybody who says, I have another use for this money or this time or this place is a Judas. Is a Judas, including you. Yeah. If you think that you have, look, my tithe, I can use it in a different way. My offering, I can do something with it. My time, I can't come here Saturday. I can't come here at 7. I can come at 8:30. I can come at 9. I have other things to do. Tell somebody you are a Judas. Tap him and say, if you are that person who says, I can't come. We are praying on Friday. I can't come on Friday. I'm busy. I've got things to do because you can't give up your time. You can't sacrifice any other time. You come to church only once a week. That is all. Only once a week you enter this compound. You don't come again. You don't come again just once a week. This is all. Tell somebody, I don't want to say it, but it's in my head. I don't want to say it, but it's in my head. You don't have time for God again. You can't witness to anybody in your class around you. You can't share Christ with anybody. Who have you brought to church? Who have you brought to church? Nobody. You come and sit here like this. Say, I don't want to say it. I don't want to say it. But it's not a good thing. I'm thinking in my head that you are not willing to sacrifice. You think it's a waste of time. You have better things to do. No. There's something wrong with you. Hallelujah. Until you are willing, not driven or compelled, but you are willing to give up what is yours for the Lord, for Jesus, you're not going to bear much fruit. And in the same vein, unless until we are willing to sacrifice our time and our effort, most of us, you just walk to church and come alone. Most of us, you don't invite anybody to church. True or not true? We say, well, true or not true? It's true. Most of us just come alone. I walk alone. Then you come to church. That's why there's so many empty chairs and little fruits, because we are not willing to sacrifice. To go and do evangelism is a sacrifice. You have to give up something. Hallelujah. You have to give up something to become a fruit-bearing member of the church. You have to give up something. Hallelujah. And number six. Do you have number one? Number two. You have them all. Number six. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 20. And it is this. What you don't sacrifice to God, you will sacrifice to devils. What is, you see, in life, everything that comes to you is a sacrifice. Everything is a sacrifice. So what Paul says, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils. What you don't give to God, it ends up going to devils, going to the business, going to the bank, going to other places where there's no God-fearing structures in place. Amen. You will sacrifice to be a nurse, to be a doctor, to be a lawyer. You will sacrifice to be all those things. And then what? You end up, now you are struggling to go to America. You are applying to go to India to write exam, go and write exam to go to UK to go and become a nurse who will do all the dirty jobs there. You do all the night shift, all the dirty, bloody, wasted works they'll give it to you. Because you're the African nurse who has come from Africa. You are hardworking. Come and work. Your sacrifice, is that what you want? You have sacrificed to go and be somebody's stopgap measure. You have sacrificed to become somebody's second-class citizen. Tell somebody, oh no. Oh no. But you will sacrifice. Everything you do to cost you. Tell somebody, nothing is free. Nothing is free. Nothing is free. It will cost you. Amen. Amen. I cannot hear you. Amen. And that's what we are talking about this morning. That Jesus said one thing that you need is this. Sacrifice. I am willing to give up something for God, for Jesus. I am willing. I am willing to give up something for Him. That's what I'm doing. Amen. Amen. And if you are willing, the last one is sacrifice to follow Jesus. Amen. Last one. Sacrifice to follow, to be a Christian. I mean, forget all the blessings. Luke 14 and verse 27. Anyone whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me. Following Jesus is a cross-carrying process. You don't carry your cross, you cannot do this thing. Hallelujah. I didn't hear a good amen. I didn't hear a good amen. How many want to escape being doomed to poverty? How many? Oh, just a few of us. Just a few. You don't mind poverty. You don't mind being poor. You don't mind, my sister. You mind. You don't mind. Hey, how many want to escape? I want to do very well. I'm telling you, the key is to give up something. And you see, God doesn't need anything from us. He doesn't. It's just when God told Abraham, go and sacrifice Isaac. Isaac never died. No. I'm just checking your heart. Are you willing? Are you willing? Are you able to give up something for God? Your time, your money, your efforts. Are you willing to do it? That's all. I don't want your... I mean, your money, how much money do you have? How much can you give? 100 cedis? It's not much. I mean, it won't change anything. Even for this church, 100 cedis won't change anything for me. It won't change much for us. No. It won't. But it's to see your heart. What kind of a heart do you have? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bow your heads this morning. You want to pray for yourself. Lord, put your hand on your heart. Lord, I need you to change my heart. My heart is selfish, greedy, self-centered, protecting myself, always conscious of how to just survive. Lord, help me change my heart. This, look, sacrifice is not about big money or small money. It's not about excess money or budget. It's about I'm willing to give up something for God. I'm willing. And when you are willing, give up for God, God will help you and God will bless you. Hallelujah. And Lord, I pray for everyone here this morning, every single person here. Lord, let that willingness, that ability to sacrifice, let it come upon us. Many of us, we are so selfish. We are so self-protecting. We are so conscious of our own needs that we don't do well. And we are in a cycle of difficulty and hardship. And we can't get out. And we can't see that the key out is a sacrifice. We can't see that the way out of this cycle of poverty, of difficulty, of hardship is our own fault, our inability, our unwillingness to lay down something for the master. And we keep on trying harder and harder, working harder, more hours, going to foreign countries, strange countries among foreign people to become their servants in the hope of getting some crumbs to eat. But this morning, thank you for a great key that works in every society, even here where things are hard. That key works. That key works everywhere. In famine, God told Isaac, don't go anywhere, stay where you are. And that year, he had a super bumper harvest. This morning, Lord, I prayed for all of us here that you bless us with the gift, the spirit, the ability to sacrifice. Bless us, oh God. It's something we don't have within ourselves. We come short. Help us, oh God, help us. And as we give it up to you, you give up many other things to us. Thank you so very much. In Jesus' name, amen. You want to stand to your feet this morning? Stand to your feet this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Jesus said, except you take up your cross, you cannot follow him. Except you take up your cross, you cannot follow him. This morning you are here. You are not born again. You don't know what it means to be born again. You have not prayed a prayer. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and take control. That is born again. To give your heart, not coming to church, that's not born again, but to give your heart to Jesus, to give your life to Jesus, to lay it down. And this morning you are here. You want to say, Pastor, I want to go to heaven, and I want to be sure I'm going to heaven. Wherever you are, do me a favor and lift your right hand right now this morning. You are here. You are not sure you are born again. Thank you, my brother. I see your hand. Anybody else? You are here this morning. You are not sure you are born again. You are not sure. You know in your heart, I'm not sure that if I die, I'm going to heaven. And you are here right now. Lift your hand right now. I want to pray with you. Lift your hand right now. You are here. I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. And I'm not sure. Listen, listen. Look at me. Look at me. Stop. This morning, I want to do something. Look at your neighbor. Ask him, are you sure you are going to heaven? Look at him. Are you sure that if you die tonight, you are going to heaven? Tell me yes or no. Look at him. Get an answer. Yes or no. If there's no answer, bring him to me. If they can't answer yes or no, bring him to me. I'll ask him myself. Ask him, are you sure? Please ask him, are you sure you are going to heaven tonight if you die? Are you sure? What did he say? He said yes. Or he didn't answer. Bring him to me. And just, I'm very serious. Look, Usher man, go and bring him. Anybody who doesn't answer, Usher, go and bring him to me. Go and ask. Who did he answer? Come. Look, you see, your pride and your unwillingness to respond to my preaching may cost you your future one day. Yes. Anybody who didn't answer, can I see your hand? He didn't answer. Everybody answered yes. He didn't answer. Who didn't answer? Bring him to me. Anybody else? Bring him to me. I don't know why you are shy. That's why we came. Who else didn't answer? Go and check. Usher man, where are the ashes? Pastor, please ask them. Who did he answer? Please ask them. Did you answer? Ask one by one. Did you answer that you are sure? Did he answer? Bring him to me. Don't ask any question again. Yeah. Did he answer? Yes, I'm sure. Yes, I'm sure I'm going. Did he answer? Just bring them to me right now. Anybody else? Check anybody. Ask him, are you sure? Did you answer? Did he answer? Yes, I'm going to heaven. I know that I'm going to heaven. Oh, have you asked everybody? You've asked everybody. If you die and go to hell, it would be a very serious mistake, because you don't have to. This is your chance to escape. It's your chance to avoid hell by all means. Let us pray. Father, thank you so very much for my brother as he stands here. Let today mark a turning point in his life. Let after today, let him never be the same again. Please pray after me. Dear Jesus, today I give my life to you. Lord Jesus, forgive me all my sins, all the bad things that I have done. Wash them away by your sacrifice on Calvary. Prepare a place for me in heaven by your side, and write my name in the book of life. Today, I give my life to Jesus. I give my heart to Jesus, and I will follow him all my days. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus. Today, I am born again, and Jesus is my Lord, my Master, my Savior, my best friend.
When he ran to me, he took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, my son's come home.
We believe the word of God has come through to you. Join us at the Lighthouse Chapel International, Bantama, behind the Confidence Eating Place. This is every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. every Tuesday. Stay blessed.
He called me back.